In 25 minutes, it'll be 9 o'clock. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lycoboro Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report this morning. As Maynard said, Paul Ramo at the control panel. Before we start, I want to just reemphasize what Maynard just said about the softball team is helping serve a brunch tomorrow at the Appleton VFW on Sunday, April 24th, starting at 7:15 to 1:15 in the early afternoon. Come on out and have a delicious omelet and support the Lycoboro Valley softball team. The girls have been working hard to prepare the fields and themselves the past few weeks, and they're having high hopes for the season this year. I think that's the only activity that hasn't started their season yet actually playing, so hopefully they'll get some games in this week. Also, the school play will be the second performance tonight at 7 o'clock and once again at Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. She Kills Monsters, and we'll be talking to the director sometime during the Coaches Show, probably after the 9 o'clock hour sometime. And with spring starting in seven coaches, we are starting the show early at 8:30 every Saturday morning now until the summertime rolls along and school is out. So on the line is Barry Bessonen, and he's halfway down to Worthington and got a call from Worthington saying that the course is too wet and they're going to turn around and have some breakfast and then come back home. But you did get one event in this past week up in Appleton, Barry.
We did. We opened our conference season Thursday afternoon in Appleton. We had six schools in for the event. We were supposed to play last Tuesday. That was postponed. We're not a makeup date yet, so this turned into the conference opener. It was good to get out there. The conditions were not bad, a little cool, a little bit of breeze, but considering some of the other days, it wasn't too bad. And we came out and played well, on home course for a lot of the kids that play there all the time. Came out and played well. We ended up tied with the best score with Dawson Boyd. They did win the tiebreaker, which they had a better fifth score than we did by one shot. So they won the meet in the tiebreaker. We both shot 176. So a good start, good score for us. Unfortunately, one more shot, we could have had the win, but we'll take a second. That was a good start. Third place was Community Christian, followed by McCray. I can't remember all the teams here. McCray was fourth. At RCW and I'm drawing a blank. I don't have it in front of me.
Christian school
came in
Wilmot.
CMCS was fifth, and RCW was sixth. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So a good start for us there. Individually had a pretty good a duel going between Carson Bessonen and Colin Swadzinski of Dawson, with Carson ended up pulling away in the last couple holes and finished with a one over par 37 to win the meet individually. We ended up with a three shot win as Colin had a couple bogeys there coming in. We both played well on the day. So a good start for him individually. We also had Lucas Bosick at a nice round of 45 for us. We had Charlie Alstead with 47, and Keaton Stender also with 47. Good scores for those two as well. And then we had Will Gies with 53. He rallied. He had a bit of a tough start, but came back in his last few holes. And then we had JT Alstead with a 55 to round out our individual performances for the day.
Okay. That's all you had, except you were supposed to go today. I don't know if you'll make something like that up, but You probably have a few events next week, Barry.
Yeah, we're very busy next week. Today won't be made up, I'm not fairly certain. But next week we play 4 days. Tuesday we go to Dawson for a conference meet. Thursday we go over to our first of two trips over to Hawk Creek and Raymond, and as both McCrae and CMCF play there. I'm not sure which school is hosting this one, whether it's McCrae's meet or CMCS's meet, but we go to Hawk Creek on Thursday. Friday, Saturday, we go to the Wildcard Cardinal Invitational. So Friday we'll be going over to Little Crow and playing in New London, hosted by New London Spicer as the first half of the tournament. Saturday we played Eagle Creek and Wilmer as Wilmer hosts the second half. So it's a two-day cumulative tournament where we get to see. There'll be a few local teams, but we're also going to see some teams that we, some much bigger teams we never see. As we mentioned, Wilmer and I think Sartell and Hutchinson a few schools of that nature that we just never see. So it'll be a fun event from that standpoint too. In addition to, like I said, some of the local teams we usually see. So a good mix. So we definitely have a busy week coming up with those four events.
And that's 18 holes both days on.
Both days, Friday and Saturday, will be 18 holes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, get their legs in shape too.
That's right.
So. Okay, Barry, well, thanks for the report this morning. Unfortunately, you had to turn around, but sounds like you'll be busy next week, and maybe the kids can get home and put in a practice round at home today and get ready for the up-and-coming week.
Yeah, I get going before the wind starts blowing too hard.
Yeah. Okay. That's Barry Besnan on Boys Golf. Kip Stender is in the studio. We'll be talking to him about the girls' golf after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and Sporting Goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's another great family weekend at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, April 22nd through Monday, April 25th in Theater One, animated fun with Bad Guys, rated PG. That's Bad Guys in Theater One, opening nationwide. In Theater Two, held over, Sonic 2, rated PG. That's Sonic 2 in Theater Two. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, at the Grand in Madison, Minnesota. Coming soon to the Grand in Madison, Father Stew, which starts on April 29th, and Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, starts on May 6th.
Volunteers help to build stronger communities. April 17th through the 23rd is Minnesota Volunteer Recognition Week. The Lacaparo County 4-H program would like to say thank you to the many volunteers, youth, parents, adult leaders, 4-H alumni, and community leaders that help make 4-H a successful youth program. The 4-H program works because it focuses on youth needs and their issues. 4-H receives tremendous volunteer support. The average 4-H volunteer donates approximately 220 hours of dedicated service each year to help youth learn through projects and succeed in many 4-H events throughout the year. Thank you to everyone who volunteers with the 4-H program. Your contributions to the 4-H program are very valuable.
Back here at the station talking girls golf with Kip Stender. I think your schedule basically, as far as the conference is concerned, the same as the boys. You go someplace and play a nine-hole event, and you were able to get one event in the conference on this past week up in Appleton, Kip.
Correct. We were able to host in Appleton and get the first conference meet out of the way, and the girls golfed nicely. The Appleton golf course crew there that worked hard all day to mow some of the fairways and the greens and get the leaves off, and so it was very playable. And you know, it's just every spring the weather is what it is, and yeah. All teams, all players got to play in the same conditions. So the girls shot at 197, finished first. McCray was second with a 244, and the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks were 251 for third. And then individually, I'm trying to get that switched here on the app. I know winning the tournament for the day was Alyssa Swadensky from Dawson, and second place was Sarah Halverson with a 45. Alyssa had shot a 43, so a real nice round for her, and Sarah was a 45. Isabel Jacobs was third with a 46. Lindsay Lund from Dawson, a 50. Molly Halverson, 52. Caitlin Kittleson, 54. Sydney Gustafson from Community Christian, 56. Grace Fosick, 59 for the Eagles. Caitlin Kittleson was a 54. And then Kate Alstead for the Eagles finished with a 65 in her first conference varsity meet.
Okay. So that was it.
Yeah, it was, you know, girls' teams are down in the conference. We had three teams, you know, field four girls, and KMS didn't bring anybody. Central Minnesota Christian didn't bring anybody. So,
wow.
But the competition is solid there. You know, you got Alyssa Swadensky, you know, winning it and beating, you know, two high place state returners, and Lindsay Lund's a quality golfer in Dawson too. So that's what's fun, the competition that's there. And it, you know, each golfer makes each other one better. When you get better, you got to get better, or you can't compete. So
that's right. So busy week next week though.
Yeah, it will be. We have two conference meets, one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. We were supposed to go to Wilmer on Monday for an invite, but that'll be Friday now. So
okay. We'll
have Tuesday, Thursday, hopefully. The weather, you know, holds up there. And then Friday, go to Wilmer for an 18-hole meet.
18 holes on that one. Okay. Well, I know there's in the Minnesota Golf magazine kind of a highlight write-up on one of your golfers there.
Yeah, the Minnesota golfer, it's I think quarterly or maybe monthly in the summer. You know, if you're a member of the PGA and then a member of the Minnesota PGA, which anybody that gets a handicap card throughout the state, you know, would get this magazine. And so they have a high school spotlight kind of for each of the classes. And in Class A, they mention the girls and, you know, returning champs, and then highlighted Sarah Halverson as a Miss Golf Minnesota candidate.
Oh, yeah.
So. Okay.
Yeah, that's quite an honor there. And I didn't, in that article I just read, I forgot that you had a 26-stroke win in the state last year.
Yeah, you know, we went in there with, you know, getting there was a goal, and we got there, and just, you know, I think the program over the years, these girls have benefited from watching Rachel and Abby and those girls break the ice, and, you know, the nerves are less because it's all nerves and in the mind once you get to the state in all sports. And so how do you gain that experience? How do you gain that ability to handle that? You know, there's a few gifted people that can do that without prior experience, but for the most part, you got to get the experience to get better at that, and hard to practice that.
Yep,
but,
right.
You know, we definitely will have, if we're able to get there again, you know, bring a crowd in and get the girls some stressful moments to prepare.
Good.
Sarah, is she a finalist or a nominated for Miss Minnesota Golf? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like the PGA and the people that put the magazine together, there's probably a committee that you know, kind of chooses some golfers throughout the state. And it's pretty hard in the rural golfers to get noticed and all that. Most of them are AAA. And the McCulley girl, she's been a two or three time state champ already.
Where's she from?
She's from Simley. So okay. she's done some amateur tournaments, placed well nationally, but Sarah's been nominated by somebody or recognized by somebody to be looked at during the season here and see how it goes.
Okay, well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and you'll have some information for us next week after having 2 9-hole events and an 18-hole event.
All right, well, thanks, guys.
Kip Stender on Girls Golf. We'll take this break and talk about the play coming up here tonight and tomorrow afternoon after this.
Your junk could be someone else's treasure. Around the Town Rummage Sales are coming up in Madison April 22nd and 23rd. Check the map in the Western Guard newspaper for sale locations. Copies of the Rummage Sale map are available on the counter at Q92 Radio, the Chamber office. Also online on the KLQP-FM and Madison Area Chamber of Commerce Facebook pages. Again, citywide rummage sales coming up in Madison, Minnesota on April 22nd and 23rd. Get ready to pick up some great deals.
Hello, I'm Mariah.
And I'm Aiden.
Now is the time to be thinking about your gutters.
Do you need your gutters cleaned?
Do you need gutter guards so your gutters are lease free?
Or do you need new gutters?
If so, our dad can help.
Call Elite Seamless Gutters at
320-438-0052.
That number again is
320-438-0052.
All right, welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coach Show. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about a school play going out at Lockerbie Valley High School with Georgette Jones, the director of the play, and she joins us by phone. And, Georgette, you had the opening last night, huh?
Yeah.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about the play.
Okay. Well, you mentioned I'm the director. I'm actually the co-director with Kevin Meese. In the past, I've been the director in the fall, and he's been the director in the spring, and Chad Felton takes care of the musicals with the COVID and various illnesses and everything else going on the past couple of years. We got all discombobulated, and Kevin and I started to co-direct in the winter during the one act and decided we liked it so much we're going to keep doing it that way.
Okay.
So there are two of us, but he's busy this morning. So.
Okay.
So the play itself is called She Kills Monsters, the Young Adventurers edition. There are several editions out there. They wrote one for doing online. They wrote one where the characters are older. They wrote one where the characters are in high school. So we're doing the high school version. And it's kind of fun in that it's dealing with some real world issues that maybe aren't always so nice to deal with, some bullying, grieving, loss, how we deal with that. But it does it in kind of a magical fantasy setting of a Dungeons & Dragons game. So
okay.
Get a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, right. can you tell us some of the actors and actresses who's performing?
Oh, yeah. Well,
you got a list of them there in front of you?
Well, I can probably go down it here. You see, I told you to give me notes so I could crisp. We've actually got a little bit of a bigger cast this year. Our seniors, we've got Amaya Henry, Olivia Stoic, Charlie Olstead. They've been in shows for many, many years running there at Lockerbie. But we also have a couple of newcomers on the stage this year. Zoe Helgemo she's done an online show with us, but she was also usually backstage helping, and she's got some stage time this year. And new to us, his very last show of his senior year, we have Cole Wengler, who is our monster master. He's been having some fun and doing some really good work backstage, making all the monsters run. So that's been a lot of fun. Juniors, we've got Calista Borman and Charles Rolfsmeyer. I'm going down my list. We've got Isabel George and Sam Laney. And J.T. Olstead and Julia Borstead are up in the booth making all the magic happen electronically. And our underclassmen, we've got Gavin Asherman. And, oh, my goodness, somebody bleeped at me. What's happening there? Oh, that's my alarm that I'm going to be on the coach's show. I should turn that off.
Okay.
And let's see, where did I get? Gavin Folkestad and Kylie Asfeld is a freshman on stage this year. And then we've even got some junior high kids, Charlie Hansen, in the reserves.
Okay.
And most of our actors have multiple roles in this show.
Okay. And, of course, those are the students on stage, and you got a crew behind the scenes, I would gather, huh?
Well, Cole heads up the action backstage, but pretty much all of the actors are handling the backstage work. And then Julia and JT up in the booth doing the technical stuff. So
how'd it go last night for you in the opening?
Went well. They had a good time. The energy was high. Heard nothing but nice comments from the folks there. Not a lot of folks out there. I suppose that yucky weather kind of keeping people away. It was nice and gloomy.
So you have performances.
If it's nice outside, they want to do that.
Right. And you have performances today and tomorrow, right? Why don't you tell us about that and how people can get tickets, Georgette?
Tonight at 7, and then tomorrow at 3 is a matinee, and just tickets at the door.
Okay.
And show up and buy them, like a ball game.
Just like a ball game. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else you'd like to add about the play that we didn't touch on?
No, I think that's about all. We put in a full season of work to get this weekend going. So we don't get as many games as a ball team or something like that. But they put a lot of effort and work into this, and I think it really shows on stage. You should come out and check them out. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, I was in school plays in high school and college, and it's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and we've been very happy this year that we have a lot of kids that are involved in other stuff that haven't normally done this, or they're giving it a try, but they're doing it around robotics and around golf and around track and around baseball. And that's been a real challenge, but they've made it work, and they put this show together, and so it's really nice to see them trying lots of things.
All right.
I think that's a testament to their skills. So.
Exactly. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock at La Caparo Valley High School. She Kills Monsters, Young Adventure Edition. That's a great title. So 7 o'clock, you can get your tickets at the door. And then what time tomorrow on Sunday?
3.
3 o'clock. All right. Well, Georgette, thanks for taking the time and telling us about the spring play.
You're welcome.
All right. That's Georgette Jones, a co-director of the school play out at La Caparo Valley. We'll take a commercial break. We'll be back with more of the Coaches Show right after this.
Canby Meat Center, right downtown Main Street, Canby, Minnesota, is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 to noon. This week, USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, $10.99 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Rump Roast, $4.99 a pound. Pick up some USDA Choice Boneless Beef Bottom Round Steak, $5.49 a pound. Swift Pork Shoulder Butt Roast, $2.19 a pound. Assorted cookies, $4.59 a dozen at Canby Meat Center. Call them at 507-223-5292. Like them on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jonathan Melama from the Janning ENT Center in Wilmer. I'm happy to be providing expert care for ear, nose, and throat disorders for patients of all ages at Madison Healthcare Services.
Dr. Jonathan Melama provides specialty and outreach clinic services, including surgery, at Madison Healthcare Services twice monthly. For more information or to schedule your appointment with Dr. Melama, call 320-598-7551 or visit mhsmn.org. Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
This could be Mariupol's last stand. I'm Pam Puso. Fox News. Russian fire is raining down on a steel plant there. It's the final pocket of resistance in the strategic port city.
New video released by the Ukrainian military appears to show women and children hiding in tunnels underneath the massive Azovstal steel plant. An estimated 2,000 Ukrainian Marines, along with women and children, have been holed up there for weeks.
Fox says Matt Finn, in the east, Ukrainian counterattacks are said to be slowing the Russian offensive. His body armor, his radio, and his cell phone have been found, but there's still no sign of a Texas National Guard member who vanished yesterday after entering the Rio Grande River.
The latest update we have on this tragic incident from the local sheriff is this Texas National Guard soldier jumped into the water around 8:30 a.m. in an effort to save a female migrant who was struggling in the river with another group of migrants. What we're told is that female did survive and is now in Border Patrol custody.
Fox says Bill Malusian in Eagle Pass, Texas. Searchers are coming up empty off the coast of Japan, where a sightseeing boat is believed to have sunk. 26 people, including two children, were on board. More fodder for lawmakers investigating the Capitol attack.
Cassidy Hutchinson, a special assistant in the Trump White House, told the House committee investigating the January 6th riot that Chief of Staff Mark Meadows had been advised by a Secret Service official about concerns ahead of the violence. That comes from transcripts released by the committee late Friday in response to a lawsuit Meadows brought against the committee. He wants subpoenas he's gotten from the lawmakers to be invalidated.
Fox says Jill Nato, Meadows has provided emails but hasn't been interviewed. America's listening to Fox News.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts commercial-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Dana Perino, Kennedy, Ben Domenech, the Duffys, and many more. Subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
What are the most important issues facing Americans today? Every Tuesday, join me, Brett Baer, chief political anchor and executive editor of Special Report, and my rotating all-star panel of experts as we discuss the policies, practices, and possible solutions to the biggest and most important issues. You can hear new episodes every Tuesday. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs. Paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. A wind advisory begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Mainly cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. High of 77, south winds 30 to 40 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 41. Cloudy skies tomorrow, chance for scattered showers, highs level off around 46. Upper 30s Monday, turning much warmer on Tuesday with highs in the mid-40s. Another look at the short range, high of 77 today, lows level off around 41 tonight, high of 46 tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Q92 Country. Right now, 70.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota. Busy weekend around the area. A few things going on. Round the town rummage sales are going on in Madison today. There are a couple of dozen sales. If you check the Western Guard, you'll find a map there in this week's paper. We also have that map on the counter at the radio station, Q92 Radio Building Chamber Office, downtown Madison at 623 West 3rd Street. And you get that map online on the Madison Chamber or KLQP-FM radio Facebook page. Be a bake sale at 321 East 3rd Street in Madison today, beginning at 9 this morning. benefit for Andy Coulter at the Montevideo VFW from 5 to 8 this evening. There will be a loaded baked potato bar, walking tacos, silent auction, 50-50 drawing, and Two Rivers Chapter MDHA drawing will take place. VFW Auxiliary will be holding a bake sale with all proceeds being donated. Andy's a member of the KDMA radio family in Montevideo undergoing cancer treatment. Knights of Columbus, Council 6503, hosting a turkey dinner Sunday at St. James Catholic Church in Dawson. It's takeout and delivery only. No dine-in seating available. Takeouts will be served from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Deliveries must be ordered before 11 a.m. by calling 320-413-0337 or 507-829-1098. Tickets for that turkey dinner are $13 per meal. Be a ladies' salad supper at the Antelope Hills Christian Church new building on Sunday, April 24th. Registration at 5, meal at 5:30. Program features a special speaker, Jane Goplin, the 2021 Minnesota Farm Fest Farm Woman of the Year. And that'll start at 6:30 p.m. There's no pre-registration needed. Free will donations taken. Antelope Hills Christian Church new address, 2220 190th Street, Canby. Black Pearl Valley softball team will be helping serve a brunch at the Appleton VFW Sunday from 7:15 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. Come out and have a delicious omelet and support the Black Pearl Valley softball team. The girls have been working hard to prepare the fields themselves the past couple of weeks. They have high hopes for the season, so come and support them at the Appleton VFW on Sunday. Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. The Country Butcher, downtown Dawson, invites you to come on in and take advantage of the specials this week. Country Butcher is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday 9 to 1, Sunday by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. You can give them a call at 320-769-2238 or email thecountrybutcherllc@gmail.com. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's 7 minutes after nine. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. Once again, we start in the spring, the Culture Show at 8:30. So if you missed it, you heard Kip Stender and Barry Bessonen, and then the play director, co-director. And so I think we'll have golf starting at 8:30 every Saturday morning. So if you want to hear the golf report live, you know, tune in at 8:30. Then that gives us a little more time to talk to the other five spring coaches. And John Sherb's in the studio talking boys and girls track. And finally, you got an event in, John.
I think we molded to the gym way too well in there. It's been old, and I know the kids have been frustrated, but it's finally a good chance to do it.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, we went over. We've been fine trying to go somewhere. We got over to Granite, and, you know, we finally got a respectable day. You stayed in the sun. It was a nice day. The wind wasn't too bad. You got in the shade, got a little cooler, and, you know, the last part of the race has got a little cooler over there. So, but, you know, we just wanted to get a meet and find out where these kids are at, and that was our biggest concern, is just to compete and then try to remember how to get. We have so many young kids that inexperienced, and so I know when we get there, all of a sudden I'm changing spikes, I'm taping, and Joel's taping. I mean, and all these people are doing, and Dave is changing spikes. We're all just like going flipping and flopping, trying to do that, and then trying to, we had to flip stuff with some relay teams. So it was just kind of a helter skelter, but you know, we've got some good coaches that can cover and that work really well. So, and that was fun.
How many teams were there?
10 teams. So it was a really big, big meet, 10 teams. Yeah. And they weren't small teams. And that's the thing is most of the head kids had at least had 50 to 70 kids on the program. So it was a long meet. I think there were 600 and some participants that were in the program to run. So
okay. It
was a good meet. It was good. Like I said, we just chance to see some people and go, and it was fun. So, you know, what I'm going to do is we're deep, for example, in the girls 100-meter dash. I think we had 17 girls 100-meter dash, and we were at the beginning going there, was only had five. So we're lucky they got the first meeting that way. So what I'm going to do is I'm just kind of give the top five times in each event, just do it that way if they didn't place, just to kind of, and you know, it'll rotate as we go and just what we got for time.
Yep.
So,
yep. But
like with the boys 100-meter dash, I'll go down the boys first and see what we got. 100-meter dash, Keegan Wick was in the 100-meter dash. He went 12.72. He was 23rd, and Grant Martinson was 38th at 13.68. 800-meter run, Justin Perkins was 8th at 226.47. Jordan Perkins' brother was 19th at 235 flat. 1600-meter run, Peyton Sterrud was 2nd overall in the mile, 459.18. I think that's 7 seconds off his personal best. So, you know, I think he'll be, as we get moving, I think that will change a lot as he gets some reps in there. 3200-meter run, he came back, and that was 3rd at time 10.54 flat. And then Gavin Carl was 5th at 11.25. 110-meter hurdles, James Weber, first time he's ever done the high hurdles, he's never done it before. He was 3rd with a time of 19.24. He also, and then 300-meter hurdles, he was also in there, he was 4th at 46.18. Ethan Hersham was 11th at 51.11, and Joseph Felton was 14th at 59.17. 400-meter relay team. That was James Weber to Mason Bramer to Keegan Wick, and then Brayson Boyk. They ended up finishing 5th with a time of 352.31. Our 4x800-meter relay team, they were 4th. And that was, well, we put both Perkins in there, so it's just, you holler at each leg, it was just Perkins, you get it covered, so that was nice way that way, but Justin and Jordan were in there, and then Joseph Felton was in there, and then Gavin Carl was a late move-in, but Gavin, you know, stepped in there and did a nice job, and they said they were 4th with 10.25. Shot put, Grant Martinson was 14th, toss of 25 feet, 3 inches. And discus, Grant also threw a disc 21st place at 82 feet, 10 inches. High jump, this is where we struggle in the technique park. And I know both our high jumpers really struggled with the technique approach. They were all over the place. They were taking off way too early, taking off way late, diving into the bar. It just, and like Ron and I were talking, Ted's just like, it's just we need more reps in live action. It's tough to do live action in the commons. That's all. So all we've done is high jump is the commons. So tough flooring, everything else. But that's an event we've got to work on. They're going to be a lot better as we move on. Brayson was 5th at 5'6". Eli Hagelin was 8th at 5'2". And then Ethan Hersham did not get in. We ended up scratching him out because he had just run the 300 hurdles by the time he got the high jump, so we pulled him out of there. Long jump, Brayson Boyk was 1st at 19 feet. Ooh. Eli Hagelin was 12th at 16 feet 9. And in Keegan Wick was 17 at 15 feet 5. And then Ethan Hersham was 18th at 15.5. Triple jump, Brayson Boyk was 3rd. 39 feet 5.5 inches. Eli Hagelin was 7th at 36 feet 7.75. Keegan Wick was 12th at 33 feet 5, and Denise Hurston was 16th at 31 feet 4. Scoring wise, I didn't have the points on this page, but the points, we were 5th with boys. I think we had 62 points, which is good. I mean, it's just like I said, we're just to kind of figure out where we're at, and again, events on that. Girls, and like I said, we had a lot of girls, and the good thing is we got the girls in there. So our top one was Hannah Gochi in the 100. She was 7th at 14.08. Peyton Moe was in 9th at 14.14. Bailey Botham was 17th at 14.61. And Sadie Hacker was 25th at 15.21. And Morgan Hansen was 23rd at 15.21. 200-meter dash, Addie Tuftel was sixth, 29.27. Maya Conroy was in ninth at 29.84. Peyton Moe was 16th at 30.38. Reese Johnson was 17th at 30.52. And then 19th was Lexi Gleggi at 30.65. 400-meter dash, Micaiah Poost, 8th grader. She never even ran track last year at all. She ended up finishing 6th in the 400 with a 108.62. And then Morgan Anderson was 12th at 112.27. 800-meter run, Taylor Wood was 6th, 251.48. Chloe Gleggi was 8th at 254.87. Reese Oxendorf was 14th at 309. Daytona Bissett was 15th at 309. And then Kendall Johnson was 16th at 312. Mile, Annika Fernals was 4th, 616. Chloe Gleggi was right behind her in 5th at 617. And then also, Kendall Johnson. Yes, Kendall, they had a flip on the number. Kendall Johnson was end up 11th at 643. 100-meter dash, 100 hurdles, Ayanna Hasted. She ended up finishing 6th. And she was 18.49. And then Calista Borman was in 10th at 19.18. And then we got Addie Doctor was in 25th at 20.21. 300 hurdles. Addie also did the 300 hurdles, and she was 28th at 106.37. 4x1, we had a flip in that because we did have Hasted in the third spot, so we put Morgan Hansen there just to kind of take care of that one. That was Peyton Moe to Callie Borman to Morgan Hansen to Abigail Alonzo. Had a tough handoff on two to three, just timing. We had a ninth grader that just very inexperienced, and she was ready to go, and she was ready to go a little too quickly and took off too soon, but we still got to stick around, and we still end up finishing with that within a time of 59.08. 4x2 was Lexi Gleggi. Let's see which Johnson I got there. I got so many Johnsons on the team. Reese Johnson, Addie Tufto, and Maya Conroy. They ran really well. And we were very conservative in their handoffs. They were second overall, 157.25. Our 4x4, that was Addie Tufto to Annika to Reese Johnson to Maya Conroy. And they end up finishing in fifth at 434.84. Our 4x8 was... basically, as I call it, is a brand new 4x8. All of them have, well, except for one, have never really ran any varsity action at all. And they ended up being Reese Oxendorf, Micaiah Poost, Daytona Bissett, and Taylor Wood. And they end up finishing in fourth with 1150.93. Shot put, Cameron Lee won it with a toss of 34 feet, 3 inches. Paige Meyer, who's been nicked up, or hopefully get that knee back. She'll be ready to go sixth at 29.02. Isabel Long-Henry was in 11th, 26.11.5. Callie Kahn was 15th at 25.6. Micaiah Elias was 23.08. She was 23rd. And then Claire Lowry was in 30th at 19.10. Discus, Paige Meyer, 9th, 73 feet and a half inch. Isabel Long-Henry was 66 feet, 5.5 inches in 13th. Paige was 9th. Cameron Lee was 18th at 61.3. Mikhail Elias was 28th at 51.02. And then Claire Lowry was in 34th at 47. High jump, Ayanna Hasted was in 7th, 4 foot 6 inches. Lainey Bartunek was in 8th at 4 foot 4. Calista Borman was 18th at 4 foot. And then Callie Kahn was 18th at 4 foot. Long jump, Lainey Bartunek was 13th at 12 feet, 8.5 inches. Hannah Gochi was in 19th at 11 feet, 11 inches. And Sadie Hacker was in 21st at 11.10 inches. And then Abigail Alonzo was in 29th and 10 inches. Triple jump, Lainey Bartunek was 4th at 29 feet, 6. Calista Borman was in 6th at 28.9. Callie Kahn was 11th at 26.10. Reese McCoy was in 12th at 23.11, and then Addie Doctor was 18th at 22.11. Girls were 6th with 64 points, so, again, we had a lot of technique, a lot of things to work on, but, you know, just glad to compete, and it's, again, a lot of kids going, and we're just glad to do something.
Yeah. Well, next week, hopefully you can get some more in.
Yeah, hopefully we're planning on having meet at home on Tuesday.
Okay.
It'll be kind of our makeup one from the earlier that we didn't get in. And so we're looking at that. I think we've got three or four teams coming over, just, again, going with it and seeing what we have there. Junior high is going to also flip. They're going to go to Granite, I think, that day. So we're going to have both squads kind of go, so everybody will be competing there, because junior high missed out there yesterday, Morris. So,
sure.
But that got rescheduled to Thursday of next week. So maybe they'll be able to get that one with the weather. Just, I mean, it's just goofy right now, just with the weather.
So the varsity just on Tuesday.
Right. We do have an invitation to go up to Wheaton if something happens on Thursday, and we'll see what happens. The biggest concern is, is getting through without injuries. You're starting to throw these kids in a lot of events, and we don't need to get beat up. I mean, we've got a lot of depth on the girls' side. Boys, we don't, but, we still, on the boys, with our numbers, we still scored 62 points with our boys. So, I mean, we've got a lot of depth there. Just, we need, not depth, but talent. We got to put some more with it.
Right.
So, numbers are going to be a little bit more of a fight there.
Today is decent, but looking at the forecast tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, looks, I think it kind of looks without moisture, but it's going to be cold.
Right. Well, you're going to go from, 70 today, and then you turn around, I think, by Monday, 36 or something like that for high. So it's just like this roller coaster just continues to go.
What a job for Tony Smith or any activities director right now. You look on the school's website for the calendar, and it's all in red, postponed till this date and postponed till that date. And, it's a nightmare, but it's that way for everybody.
It's that way for everybody. The only thing is, at the meet, I think there was a bunch of teams, that was their third or fourth meet. Oh. But they've also ran in some very cold conditions, which there's good and bad at doing it. It just, do you want the kids to enjoy it? Do you want any injuries? And that's the bad thing. You gotta kind of play that, Russian roulette of, what do you want to do and what don't you want to do? Yeah. So, but like I said, I thought our kids, was competing very, very well up there. And again, we've got a lot of things we can clean up in all levels. It's going to come with time and more reps. And that's, I think we'll get that going and cleaning up. And we're going to do very well as we continue to go
on. Yeah. And I know they were chomping at the bit to get started. So they got one under their belt, and nothing but better performances down the road.
Yeah, and we got standards set. That's the biggest thing, standard you build off, and some kids are going to make some big jumps, some are going to make some baby steps, and just that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Thanks, John, for coming in, and we'll talk about the Tuesday event next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on boys and girls track, and we'll get on the phone and talk tennis after this.
It's another great family weekend at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, April 22nd through Monday, April 25th in Theater One, animated fun with Bad Guys, rated PG. That's Bad Guys in Theater One, opening nationwide. In Theater Two, held over, Sonic 2, rated PG. That's Sonic 2 in Theater Two. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison, Minnesota. Coming soon to the Grand in Madison, Father Stew, which starts on April 29th, and Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, starts on May 6th.
Volunteers help to build stronger communities. April 17th through the 23rd is Minnesota Volunteer Recognition Week. The Lacaparo County 4-H program would like to say thank you to the many volunteers, youth, parents, adult leaders, 4-H alumni, and community leaders that help make 4-H a successful youth program. The 4-H program works because it focuses on youth needs and their issues. 4-H receives tremendous volunteer support. The average 4-H volunteer donates approximately 220 hours of dedicated service each year to help youth learn through projects and succeed in many 4-H events throughout the year. Thank you to everyone who volunteers with the 4-H program. Your contributions to the 4-H program are very valuable.
Back here at the Culture Show, talking tennis and all with Austin Ireland. And Austin, you had a couple events this past week.
Oh, yeah, we sure did.
So let's hear all about it.
All right. Well, it seems like we always have more
if it's a nice enough day out, you know, we'll have a match. You know, we never seem to really get to have a practice, but that's all right. Tuesday we hosted the Wolverines of McRae at La Caparo there, and yeah, the boys came out. It was a cold day. I think it was the high was about 42, but I think it felt a lot colder than that. You know, it took us a little while to get going there. I'll just go over some of the results here. Jackson Buehr, he beat one of the Seahawks and Twins, Josiah. He lost his first set 6-3, but came back, won the second set 6-3, and then won in the third set tiebreaker 10-6. Liam Risch defeated Andrew Jensen 7-5. You know, Liam was down like 5-0, something like that, in that first set. He ended up winning that second set 7-5, and then won the first set 7-5, second set 6-0. So he kind of went on a 13 game winning streak right there, 13 overall. So that's kind of like the Memphis Grizzlies and the Timberwolves there. He kind of went on a good streak there, and this time the good guys won here. So Matt Martinson defeated Brogan Hargreaves 6-2, and had a tough time in the second set, kind of closed it out, but he ended up winning 6-2, 7-5. Luke Stock, he was at four singles. He did a nice job there, good pick up his first career win there against Andrew Gates. 6-2, and Luke ended up losing that second set 7-4. Yeah, so it was like 6-7, and then that third set was the most close you can get there. It was 10-8. Luke pulled it off there, so that's good to get some of that. Get that first one out of the way. Now we just keep going with it, you know.
Right.
So at doubles, we had Gavin Stoltz and Levi Olson. They teamed up against, played a really athletic Weber Link and Austin Sweep from McRae. They ended up beating them 6-4, 6-2. You know, it's kind of a four really good athletes right there, Gavin and Levi and Nathan Austin, and going at it at one double. So that was kind of a fun matchup to watch. And then at second doubles, Wyatt Wiebe and Nate Gruhl, they beat Brent Reset and Josh Kessalona. That was 6-0, 6-0 in our favor. And then a third doubles was won by forfeit was Garrett Costin and Gunnar Olsen. So Gunnar picked up his first varsity win too, so that's good to have some milestones there. But yeah, it was kind of just like a cold start for us. You know, it was hard to get going, but you know, hopefully we're on the right track. Let's see. And then Thursday we went to the Dakota Territories and we played Milbank, and we're there in the Dakota Territories. It's a little rules are a little different, you know. So we played Pro 10s. They only really need six players. They do six singles, and then those players end up playing doubles as well. So that was 9 points. So, yeah, Milbank beat us 6-3 there. So, 9 points there. They started out with doubles right away, and it started out cool, and we got off the bus, and they were like, let's go. It was no introduction. It was, like I said, a little bit different. We weren't really used to that, so. We had Jackson Buehr and Liam Risch. We played one doubles for us. They lost to Bennett Street and Josiah 10-2. We had Gavin Stoltz and Matt Martinson teamed up. And we actually had this whole matchup, we had quite a few winning the tiebreaker. And this is one of them at number two doubles there. It was, 9-9, they went to a tiebreaker. And we ended up winning that tiebreaker 7-3 for Matt Martinson and Gavin Stoltz. And then our third double team, Wyatt Wiebe and Levi Olson, that also went to a tiebreaker. We ended up losing that tiebreaker, that 9-9 tiebreaker, 6-8. They lost to, a lot of good matchups there. And then the single side, Jackson Buehr, he played Bennett Street, and he played so far the best he's played all year. So that's a good sign. He ended up going that one 10-3. Liam Risch, he was down 7-0, came back with 8-7 with his serve. Couldn't quite pull it out there. Had to go into the tiebreaker, lost the tiebreaker in 7-2. Gavin Stoltz, he had a tough matchup. He lost 10-3. Wyatt Wiebe at number four singles lost 10-3. Levi Olson, 10-5 his last was. And Matt Martinson picked up the win 10-6. So that was 6-3 in Milbank. That was a lot of fun because we got to bring everybody with, and they just kept throwing matches on, so it was everyone got to play, and it was a pretty beautiful day for tennis. So I'm glad we got. Good. I mean, we didn't leave Milbank till about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So it was good that utilize. We don't we didn't
have ever outside time, so we got to utilize some of that at the forecourt there for the Bulldogs. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was a good week, though. We got a win, we got a loss, we had some pizza. I mean, what else can you ask for, right?
There you go. Well, sounds like you got a really busy week next week.
Yeah, I feel bad for a lot of the, you know, I think Dawson Boyd has their prom this weekend. Okay. So not only that, and then after coming off of prom, we got Monday, we host Worthington. Tuesday, we go to Benson. Wednesday, we host Montevideo. And Thursday, we go to Minnewaska.
Wow. Okay. Well.
So, yeah, I'm just kind of hoping that they can dress up and behave. I don't know how they're going to do. They just energize their bunnies, I guess. They just keep on going.
Yeah.
They get saved because I think they work out less in a match than they do in practice. So, yeah. Maybe just them having the matches might help out. I don't know.
That's the reward for all your hard work is the matches itself, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and let's hope you get all those four events in, and we can talk about that next Saturday morning.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's go. We co-op, baby.
Okay. That's Austin Ireland on boys tennis. We'll take this break. When we come back, we were able to tape Bart Hill of the two games that he had last week. They are en route to Tracy. I think that's going to be on today because when I stopped down at Casey's, I ran into Brian Fernals and his son, and they were going to go down to watch that as well. It's a varsity, and then following that, a JV. A JV has not played at all, so it'll be a full day of baseball. Unfortunately, we will not have it on the air, but you can hear all about the results when the kids get back, and we'll talk about it next Saturday morning. So we'll take this break and then have that interview with Bart Hill after this.
Your junk could be someone else's treasure. Round the Town Rummage Sales are coming up in Madison April 22nd and 23rd. Check the map in the Western Guard newspaper for sale locations. Copies of the Rummage Sale map are available on the counter at Q92 Radio, the Chamber office. Also online on the KLQP-FM and Madison Area Chamber of Commerce Facebook pages. Again, citywide rummage sales coming up in Madison, Minnesota on April 22nd and 23rd. Get ready to pick up some great deals. Canby Meat Center, right downtown Main Street, Canby, Minnesota, is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 to noon. This week, USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, $10.99 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Rump Roast, $4.99 a pound. Pick up some USDA Choice Boneless Beef Bottom Round Steak, $5.49 a pound. Swift Pork Shoulder Butt Roast, $2.19 a pound. Assorted cookies, $4.59 a dozen at Canby Meat Center. Call them at 507-223-5292. Like them on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jonathan Melama from the Janning ENT Center in Wilmer. I'm happy to be providing expert care for ear, nose, and throat disorders for patients of all ages at Madison Healthcare Services.
Dr. Jonathan Melama provides specialty and outreach clinic services, including surgery, at Madison Healthcare Services twice monthly. For more information or to schedule your appointment with Dr. Melama, call 320-598-7551 or visit mhsmn.org.
Hello, I'm Mariah.
And I'm Aiden.
Now is the time to be thinking about your gutters.
Do you need your gutters cleaned?
Do you need gutter guards so your gutters are leak free?
Or do you need new gutters?
If so, our dad can help.
Call Elite Seamless Gutters at
320-438-0052.
That number again is
320-438-0052.
Back here at the radio station Culture Show, talking baseball with Bart Hill. We knew about it when we taped this. No game on Friday, but you were going to make it up today. And we'll talk about that game in Tracy in a little bit. But two games, and both at home this past week. First off on Tuesday against McRae, and then on Thursday against Hancock. And win and loss and win.
That's
good,
right?
Games.
So. Yeah, they were, you know, and Tuesday was that really, really cold, windy day. But, you know, we've got to play sometime, and we've had three games already, and we're one of the few teams in the state. I was looking at the Minnesota Scores website, and very, very few teams have played a game at all or maybe just one. And we're lucky to have three in now. But we had our conference opener against McRae. We knew they were going to be good. They had, you know, four or five starters that have been starting since their freshman year. They got an outstanding shortstop, a couple of really good pitchers. We just saw one, Brooks Ash, threw all seven innings. And you know, we put out our two lefties, so we knew it was going to be a good low-scoring game, and it was, unfortunately. You know, we didn't score a run, so we got it shut out 2-0. Avery Whitnable started on the mound. He's just having a fantastic year pitching so far. Through four innings, gave up just two hits, no runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts. Right. And then Blake Wohlschlager, he picked up the kind of the hard luck loss. He threw three innings, gave up four hits, two runs, but no earned runs. He didn't have a walk either, and three strikeouts. So what I thought was really ironic, Dick, in this cold weather, you know, the first people you worry about are the pitchers, because they're the ones that are handling the baseball all the time, you know, and if their hands get cold, I don't know if you ever try to throw a baseball when your hands are cold and you lose your feeling. It's really tough.
Well, yeah, it is. It's like throwing a snowball.
Exactly. But the two teams, their pitchers combined for 23 strikeouts and one walk, you know, so you just tell the quality of pitching in that game. And
personally, I like a pitcher's duel game like that. It's exciting watching those kids go down either swinging or looking, you know.
Yeah, so. And it went very fast, obviously, with only two runs scored. But, you know, we only had three hits in the game. Landon Sherman, the leadoff spot, was 2-for-2. He also walked, you know. And every time he got on base, you know, he stole second base or got to second on a wild pitch or something. And, you know, he was in scoring position all the time. But our 2-3-4 hitters could only muster up one hit, and it wasn't enough to get a run in. So we got shut out that day, and Blake Wohlschlager had a hit and three at-bats, and that was it for us offensively. Didn't have a lot of walks either. I think we had one walk in the game, and 10 times we struck out, and so that was a little bit frustrating. But nonetheless, it was a great pitcher's duel. And then on the flip side defensively, Dick, we had four errors, and two of those errors cost us really to give up those two runs, and so that put us in the hole that we couldn't quite get out of.
You also had one outstanding catch by your left fielder. That was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about Thursday's night game, too, because our left fielder, TJ Mitchell, looked like it was going to be an easy double out to the wall. And, you know, he's a tall kid. I think he's 6'3 and has a very long stride. So he covered 30 feet, maybe two steps. And he dove an all-out dive, just like you see the major leaguers do. Caught the ball, rolled over, came up with his glove in the air, and it was a fantastic catch. And I said, it's too bad we didn't have that on film anywhere, because that would have definitely been an ESPN top 10 play.
There was one in right field on Thursday, too.
Yeah, <so. laughs> and then we had one in right field, and we'll talk about that in that game. Yeah. But, you know, in the first game, Landon Sherm, center field, tracked down what would have been a double as well, and he hit the cutoff. We nailed the runner trying to extend it into a double, you know. And so our outfield has really made some nice plays in the three games so far. But, unfortunately, that was our conference opener. We lost that game, and in our conference, we only play the teams once, so, you know, we are technically two games back from McRae in the conference.
Right,
so.
Right. Then Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday we had a non-conference game. The first time that I can remember we've ever played Hancock in high school baseball. You know, they're not very far away, and we have a lot of our families live closer to Hancock than probably Madison. And you know, so I'm glad we played them. They've always had good sports programs and everything. And some of the kids knew some of the Hancock kids that wrestled for the Morris team. And it turned out to be a beautiful night, and we finally got a little bit of offense, Dick. I was telling people my shoulder was a little sore from waving runners in, because I think we had gone 10 straight innings without scoring a run. So I didn't know what to do. But, yeah, we came away with an 8-3 win in that game. And, you know, the best part is, you know, we've been using our lefties so far, and throughout the course of these guys' careers, you know, Blake and Avery have done the majority of the pitching in that grade, because, you know, they're lefties and they're really, really good. And so we had to use another guy, and it was either Caden Allpress or Landon Sherm, and we had talked to him throughout the week, and I think they're a little bit nervous about starting. They both would rather come in relief, but I said one of you has to start. So Landon Sherm got, I believe, his first varsity start on the mound, toed rubber. Yep. I think he pitched two or three times in relief last year, and that was it. And maybe had a total of six innings, so not a lot of experience on him. And he came out in the first six batters he faced. He threw a first pitch strike, which is outstanding. And he ended up getting the win through four innings and gave up just two hits. Did give up three runs, but only one was earned. Walked three batters and struck out four. And then Caden Allpress threw the last three innings, shutout innings, to pick up the save. And I didn't realize this, Dick, until I looked at the book last night. He struck out the last six batters.
Yeah, and I mentioned that a mown down inning again.
Yes, I said that in the dugout. I said the kids probably don't know that. You know, on the old Twins broadcasts, if the pitcher struck out the side, it was a snapper mown down inning.
Full and count then, on all three batters.
Yeah,
<too.
laughs> yeah. And they'd draw a name out who ever would win a snapper riding lawnmower, you know. And so we're not going to give that out. But yeah, that was back-to-back snapper mown down innings. So Caden Allpress just gave up one hit, but like I said, struck out six batters in three innings of work. So that was awesome. And, you know, we had a few more hits. We strung together hits and got four runs in the third inning and three runs in the fifth. And, you know, that's the high for the year. So that was nice for us. And Landon Sherman, the leadoff spot, he was 1-for-2, had a couple walks. He did have an RBI. Caden Fernholz was 1-for-4. He scored a couple runs. Blake Wollschlager was 1-for-3. He had two RBIs, scored a couple runs. Derek Molden was 2-for-3. He had a couple RBIs. We had Tyler Schickendance, got his first hit of the year. He was 1-for-2, scored a couple runs. And Dane Mortensen got his first hit of the year as well. He was 1-for-2. And, you know, the nice thing was, you know, the bottom of their order got on base, but then they also scored, you know, mm-hmm. three runs scored in the last two hitters.
Yeah.
So that was nice to see.
Back-to-back-to-back-to-back base hits there.
Yeah, yeah. We had a nice little inning there in the third inning to put up those four runs. So that was exciting to see. So that was an 8-3 win. Non-conference game puts our record at 2-1. And then that brings us into the debacle of trying to fit in another game yesterday, which was Friday. We're taping this. But as we're talking here, taped on the radio, we will be down in Tracy to play Tracy Milroy Ballaton at 10 o'clock in the morning. And it's supposed to be, according to the weather report, Dick, 60 degrees and no rain. So it should be a beautiful morning for ball.
And your other team gets a chance to play after your varsity game.
Yes, the freshmen and the JV are just beside themselves. Every time they have a scheduled game, either a field is like the freshmen were supposed to go up to Minnewaska on Thursday, they still had snow on the field, and either that or our field at the high school is too wet, or, you know, Hancock didn't have enough players, and they're just waiting. I mean, we're in the third week of April, and they're still waiting to play their first game. So, you know, we'll take any games we can. Tracy Milroy Ballaton said they would more than happy play a JV game afterwards. We'll get the varsity game done, and then we can play a JV game, and I don't care if they play three games. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I like sitting at the ballpark. So
that's for sure, and these kids need to play. I mean, once you're outside, it's terrible getting back inside. And I know you like to stay outside, but gosh, it isn't very favorable. And they gotta play. And you're blessed with a good number of players. Not all Camden Conference teams have a JV, and certainly they don't have 19 freshmen out.
Yeah, that is the frustrating part, so, you know, and so. You know, luckily, Tony Smith, our AD, has found at least 10 games for him, but now numerous games of those have been rescheduled, so we're hoping that they can still find time to play him sometime, because, that freshman group is a pretty good group of kids in all their sports, you know, and we certainly don't want them to lose their desire or interest in baseball, thinking, like, now, is that what baseball is? You just practice for 6 weeks indoors? So
yeah.
We're hoping to get some games in this week, and we'll see what happens, but, you know, after Saturday, today's game down in Tracy, we got a huge game with YME on Tuesday at home. You know, they bring back three of their top pitchers from last year. They made it to the section finals. They were one game away from state. So obviously that's going to be a huge game, not only for the conference, but for the section as well. And we get them at home. And then I believe then a week from, it'll be a Friday that next week, I believe we go to Dawson.
Right.
And then we go to Painesville for a tournament, and we're going to see Painesville and Litchfield, two AA teams that have had great traditions in their programs. So it's going to be a pretty exciting, intense, fun-filled. Hopefully we play them week with a lot of great competition.
Okay. Well, Bart, thanks for the talk this morning. Best of luck today with your two teams, and Tuesday and Friday, we'll have to tape probably after the game on Friday.
No,
because
maybe.
You go to Painesville on Saturday, but no. Busy week.
It is. That's okay. Let's hope we get them in, Mother Nature. Are you listening?
That's Bart Hill on baseball. We'll have more of the Culture Show after this.
Round the Town Rummage Sales are going on in Madison this weekend. Check the map in the Western Guard or check the map that's posted on the KLQPFM Facebook page or the Madison Chamber Facebook page for a list of sale locations. A couple dozen sales going on. Be a garage sale at 1108 Meadow Hills in Madison, one of them. That sale is going on Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., a multi-family sale in a heated garage. They have furniture, household items, clothing, and more. That's at 1108 Meadow Hills in Madison. The Earp Hennings Kells Rummage Sale is Friday from 4 to 7, Saturday from 8 to noon. That one at 2279 250th Street in Madison. Items for sale include kids' clothes, adult clothing, home decor, and toys as well. Kathy and Mandy Weber having a rummage sale at Madison Mercantile Building in the south end of Madison's Main Street. That's Friday from 2 to 6, Saturday from 9 to 2. And they've done some spring cleaning and decluttering. There will be adult clothing, shoes, winter jackets, prom and formal dresses, antique wood chair, old mirror, vanity mirror, sewing machine cabinet, paper shredder, and more. And coffee is on there at Madison Mercantile's coffee shop for purchase. And in honor of Kathy's 60th birthday, they're accepting donations of non-perishable food items for the local food shelf. So check out that sale at Madison Mercantile, rummage sale, 2 to 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Be a bake sale on Saturday, 321 East 3rd Street in Madison. That getting underway at 9 in the morning. Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. And we're going to wrap up the Coaches Show because it's we got the Newman guys and the Newman boys and men in the studio with us. Dick, you've got your family here for you're celebrating Easter this weekend.
Yeah, we're a week late, but still, we'll have an Easter egg on and have a good meal for everybody.
So, yeah, we got your sons in here and your grandsons. It's a whole crew of guys.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk to some of them. Mike Newman and Steve Newman are here. And Mike, welcome to the studios.
Thanks, Paul.
How you doing?
We're here.
You're happy. Here.
Always good to come back home to Madison.
Watching Dad do the coaches show probably for the 5,000th show or something like that.
Yeah, Steve and I were talking this morning about, you know, these jokes that he continues to pull out and we still find ourselves laughing. So it's it's good now. My son Gannon and Jack and Luke, Steve boys, they just love it.
Yep. I've asked Mike and Steve to come on in and let's reminisce a little bit. I know them well because my boys are the same age. And Mike, what year did you graduate?
Oh, 1994.
Let's go back. What year?
Time ago.
What year?
1994.
All right.
Yeah.
And Steve, how about you? What year did you graduate?
A couple years later in 1997.
90. So 90 boys from Lac Parle Valley, huh?
Yeah. It seems like just yesterday.
Just yesterday. Yeah, you both of you are outstanding athletes. What do you remember about high school at Lac Parle?
Well, thanks for the compliment. I don't know about outstanding, but we enjoyed playing. The things I remember most are just the connections I made with my teammates, coaches, and many of those I still kind of keep in contact with through sports. And
yep.
We'll go out on golf trips with Scotty Runglin and Danny Tollefson and Corey Hansen. So it's fun to do that.
Yep, that's for sure. And Mike, how about you?
Just kind of to tag off of what Steve said, I mean, growing up, you know, having a younger brother where all we were doing was outside playing sports on the bikes. I remember Aaron and Alan Erdman and myself, we would just spend hours, whether it was baseball, whether it was tennis, at the swimming pool, just always doing something. And as we grew up, you know, getting into organized sport, just understanding the meaning of, you know, being part of a team, putting yourself aside. I always joke with Dad and Steve, like, I did not like to wrestle. I actually despised it, but it taught me the power words, you know, the determination, teamwork, perseverance, passion. And that, I feel like that translated into the success that I had on the baseball field. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure Steve would say the same thing with young kids, especially our own kids, just trying to drive that home with them on the importance of sport. It's not about winning, but it's about being part of a team and there's a lot of life lessons that come with that.
That's right. And Mike, I believe in baseball at Lock Brawley, I think you still hold the record for highest batting average. I'm bragging about this here. So highest batting average, and it was almost broke last year, I think, with Carter Hamlin. Am I correct in saying that, Mike? Dick?
Yes, you are correct. I think Carter was in the running, maybe close to 600 at one point, but kind of dropped down when we got to tournament time.
Five something, Mike. I think the record is
530 or something. I think I was bunting a lot.
And that was his junior year. He didn't play a whole lot his senior year. His dad beat him in badminton, and he sprained his ankle, and he sat out three-fourths of the season.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've had the curse of that for 46 years. have never broken a bone, but that right ankle is a little weak.
Batminton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, wow. That's the first time I heard that story, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Steve, you're an outstanding baseball player as well. Talk about with Coach Hill and that.
Well, I think
you played in the section championship, didn't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost to Benson that year down in Pipestone. But, I think I hold some records from summer rec ball. The most sun drops drank in a bus trip to Bellingham, donated by the bottling company. So I'd like to thank the Rolfs and the bottling company for always supplying us with pop and coolers full of RC Cola and sun drop.
What's the record in summer ball? What are you talking about?
I think we're talking like 6 or 7 in a 10-mile trip to Bellingham.
Sun drops.
Awesome. So what do you guys do now? I know you got your boys here with us. Talk a little bit about what you do for a job.
So after college and all that, I lived down in Nashville for a little bit, ended up moving back up to Minnesota, and for the past 15 years, I've been in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I work for a great company for the last 15 years. Like I said, it's a Striker. I sell capital equipment into operating rooms, so I cover about 80 hospitals in eastern South Dakota and western Minnesota. Spend a lot of time in surgery. I love the fact that the hospital here in Madison, we just did a pretty cool project with them. So great services in this town, great surgeons, great administration, great staff. That's kind of a cool feeling, and it's been a great career. Without sport, I never would have made it into Striker. So any young kids out there listening right now, Google Striker. It's a great company, and the basis is drive, and a lot of athletes work for this company, it's a really cool atmosphere, and it's a team, and that's what... Mm-hmm. That's what I love about it and why I've dedicated 15 years to it. So it's pretty cool.
So you're actually selling operating equipment to the hospitals?
Yep. Okay. So we do a lot of room design. We help staff and administration with designing of operating rooms, but then I also sell the equipment that the surgeons use.
Oh.
And I work with those docs as well as take them to trainings on case-specific procedures. Wow. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Something new every day, I would bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All especially right. Technology. I mean, it's evolving technology is what we call it. And it's never stopping.
All right. Steve, how about you? Okay.
Well, I currently am finishing up my 17th year teaching sixth grade for the Wayzata Public Schools in Plymouth, Minnesota.
So. 17 years already.
Yeah, it's been quite the ride. It's interesting.
What do you teach?
I teach sixth grade in a middle school that has about 1,500 kids. So I joke to my kids that the town I grew up in has fewer people than the amount of students that go to school there. And they look at me like, what? Like, yeah, it's hard to comprehend. But so it's been a fun journey. I coach wrestling, and I used to coach baseball at the high school there, too.
Oh.
If I can just interject, both of them are still playing baseball.
Oh, town ball?
Yes.
All right, talk about that. I know, Mike. You played college ball and
pro ball. Yeah, I've had a fun career, and the best part about it is just the memories and the friendships that I've made along the way. And those friendships, like Steve was saying, whether high school, college, or post college, you know, that's the important piece. But I've had, you know, kind of some hiatuses, but in 2018, I got back with Canova Gang, which is South Dakota, and we won the whole thing. It was really cool. They embraced my family, and it was a really neat atmosphere. Just like Minnesota Amateur Baseball, South Dakota, a lot of pride there. Yeah. A lot of the small towns, just like Rosen, like Madison, coming together on Sunday afternoons and watching some baseball. And this summer, I'm going to play with a couple buddies on a old man Sunday league. See
old
if we
man,
still got it.
So. 40 and over? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
How about you, Steve? I know you played in a couple state tournaments, didn't you?
Yeah, we played in a couple state tournaments, if you can call them that.
What group is this? 40
is
and over?
35
too?
And older amateur baseball league in Minnesota here. So I play for the Becker Buzzards. And it's kind of fun. All the teams have old person names.
The like Becker the, Buzzards.
The Silver Streaks and the Gold Diggers up in, where is that? Way up north. In, okay. North of Alec in Urbank.
Urbank.
Yeah.
So a 35 year in older. Yeah. So talk about your league and how you've done.
Well, kind of going back to what Mike said, we travel around to mostly towns up by Alec is where our league is. And most of the fun just comes with in the dugout, playing catch before the games, just kind of goofing around. Being like 12, 13-year-old boys again and just having the fun kind of camaraderie that you don't get necessarily in everyday life.
So. They play 2 7-inning doubleheaders on a Saturday or a Sunday, then they have all week to recover.
Yeah, we need that week to recover. It's, by about the second inning of that second game, you're just like, what was I thinking? But it's still fun. We really enjoy it. Good group of guys.
The mind moves, but the body doesn't. Yeah,
that's right.
We're all there for the right reasons and just to have fun.
All right.
Chasing
all right.
kids around now, you know, letting them start to enjoy their sports, and it's fun being the spectator now instead of the athlete.
Yeah, good. Well, who else we got in this? You got your boys with us. Who we got in the studio here with us?
Yeah, so my son, Gannon, he's 13, and I'm going through a struggle right now because he's almost taller than I am, and that kind of, it's tough. But he runs track, plays baseball, plays basketball, and always, it's kind of cool because the last couple of weeks I've noticed the bikes coming back into the driveway.
Okay.
And, you know, knowing that they're out doing stuff. So it's pretty nice.
How about you, Steve? Who do we got here?
So I got two boys here, Jack and Luke. Jack's a 7th grader. Luke's a 6th grader at Annandale Public Schools. They both like sports. They both like being on teams, baseball, football.
Yep.
Basketball is kind of one of their things, which has been tough for me since I was a wrestler. And dad coached wrestling for 35-plus years.
Yeah. Is it Jack that's friends with my grandson Zane, or
yes,
the same
Jack
age or something?
Jack and Zane are the same age. Okay. They went to kindergarten together, right. And then when we moved, so then obviously they went to different schools.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for stopping in. I appreciate that, and, you know, it's nice to have you here, and, you know, Dick's been doing the coaches show for like 50 years, and I think this is the first time we had you in there.
Yeah, I think it is, so appreciate it.
Thanks, all right. Paul. Brag up the studio here with the remodeling that was done here a few years ago. It's a nice atmosphere to come down here, and we try to get the coaches to come into the studio and talk to them live.
Right. But, well, we're going to go right into the Dick Newman's sick joke of the week, guys.
Well,
you got your grandsons here? Go ahead, Dick.
I got a bunch of dad jokes, and each one of the three grandsons picked one out. So I'm going to read one and then ask which one pick this one out. So the first one I'm going to read is, "Dear Math, grow up and solve your own problems." So which one wrote that or picked that one out?
Who picked that joke?
Okay, that was Jack, Steve's oldest son. The next one is, "Where do boats go when they're sick?" Well, of course, they go to the boat dock. And that was Lukey, Steve's next son. And then finally, Gannon picked one out. And it says, "A guy walks into a bar and he was disqualified from the limbo contest." And that was Gannon.
Awesome. So they picked that out themselves?
They picked them out.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and then we have one at home that's listening, and that's Molly.
Okay. So, Molly's listening at
home. And she's the gymnast, and she just level 5.
Yeah.
That's
she's
Steve's?
In what? Yeah, okay. Steve's. She's in 3rd grade, and she's doing gymnastic events that are for older girls. So,
okay.
So, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
No evacuations from a besieged Ukrainian city. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. Attempts were supposed to be made to evacuate civilians from Mariupol, but an aide to the mayor there tells Reuters it didn't happen. No surprise, since the city came under Russian airstrikes aimed at forcing the surrender of the remaining Ukrainian forces. Meanwhile, Moscow's goals are becoming clearer.
The Russian commander is now admitting that Moscow does want to take full control of Ukraine from the east all across the southern coast into Moldova, essentially landlocking Ukraine and redrawing Russia's border from the Donbass in the east all the way to the country of Moldova, stripping Ukraine of its critical industrial region and creating a land bridge to Crimea, also sparking fears that Moldova could be the next to be invaded by Russia.
Fox's Matt Finn in the western Ukrainian city of Lviv. Western efforts to stop the war in Ukraine could be impacted by political developments in France. Opinion polls predict a win for President Emmanuel Macron.